I went to watch Civil War last night with Poetry Ed. Great film. I really enjoyed it. Amazing soundtrack. Really enjoyed that. Highly recommend going and seeing it. Right, this is not Commode and Mayo. If it was, that would be an awful review. This is the Oxford Quack. This is my audio version of my blog, The Oxford Quack, where I observe and tell true stories about life, family, friends, and all that. Today is a true story about a family holiday that I went on. It was a cruise ship to Russia. And it was the last family holiday, as you'll sort of see why my parents decided that at the end of the blog. I was 16 at the time, so this blog really is about that and that sort of stage as I was sort of working out, going from a teenager to a woman and what that meant, and trying to be more feminine, but I had braces, I had makeup, but I didn't really know what to do with it. I had a boyfriend, but I was having these weird interactions with creepy older men, and yeah, it was just a tumble dryer mess of a summer. This holiday kind of, I look back on it and I was like, gosh, that was such a concentrated time when I was observing and working it all out. So yes, that's what this blog is about, and I really hope you enjoy it. So have a great week. If you want to subscribe on my blog and you get a little alert when I post on a Wednesday, then you can do that. That would be lovely. And yes, here it goes. A cruise to Russia, the last family holiday. In the summer of 2008, my parents thought it would be a grand idea to take four teenagers on a two-week cruise to Russia. I was 16, brace-faced, and was tortured by how far away the Baltic Sea was from my McFly-haired boyfriend. Jack was a student and didn't like any of us, and Joe had been allowed to invite his sidekick, Tom, with him. They had recently turned 18 and were determined to show their ID off to every bartender on the cruise and every woman in Scandinavia. They also packed the Xbox with them, so when they weren't drinking in a bar, they could play Halo in their cabin. Each night, they would emerge red-eyed at the dinner table, once with a confession that one of them had vomited on the side of the ship. The dinners were often formal events that required us to dress up. I was currently moulding myself from a grungy tomboy to a girly girl, and had packed uncomfortable floaty dresses that exposed my shape, and my first pair of high heels. My face was made over with magazine lip gloss, glittered eyeshadow, and cheap black eyeliner. It was as awkward as you can imagine. I would meet my parents in the piano bar before dinner, where a jolly old pianist played familiar songs and encouraged requests. He was so round and happy, it was like watching Father Christmas in his summer job. On one of these evenings, Dad went to the pianist with a request, and came scuttling back as American Idiot began to play. "It's your favourite," Dad said to me with a smile. I didn't have the heart to tell him that I had stopped listening to Green Day a year ago. On the way to St. Petersburg, we stopped off at various cities where Mum would lead us around and try and force some culture into her kids and husband. It was in Tallinn where I learned about the power of the high heel. A tan long-legged woman silenced our lunch table by the sound of her heel clicking in an hypnotic tune as she went by. Heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe. "Blimey," Dad said as he turned his head back to his family. Mum inhaled loudly as she rearranged her knife and fork on her plate. We arrived in St. Petersburg a few days later. At the time, Mum was fangirling Peter the Great, and was trying to get her three teenagers, and Tom, as excited about the dead emperor as she was. Unfortunately, we didn't care for his cabin or the Smolny convent. Joe and Tom wanted to know where they could buy vodka, Jack wanted lunch, and I wanted to go back to the cruiser's computer room to check MSN. I was reading on the top deck of the ship, sailing away from Russia as ignorant as I came, when I sensed someone sitting across from me. "What are you reading there?" an American voice said. I looked up from my book and saw a white-haired man in a polo shirt that showed off his putty-like sunburnt neck. Riders, I said. It was unfortunate that I was reading an erotic horse-riding novel. What's it about? Horse-riding, I said. The cover was also unfortunate. The backside of a woman in tight white leggings holding a whip behind her back, and a man's hand on her bum. Has anyone told you that you look a lot like Britney Spears? The man said. No, I said quickly, not liking where this was going. Well, you do. His thin, damp lips broke into a smile. Britney. Oh, not this again, I thought. Only a few weeks before that holiday, I was in Tesco's when I noticed a man appearing in every aisle I was in. I didn't know if it was a coincidence, so I quietly made an effort to lose him. I got to the fruit juice section and was relieved when I couldn't see him anymore. It was just me being dramatic. But then I reached up to get orange juice and I felt something on my leg. I looked down. It was him, crouching near the hem of my Topshop blue skirt. It was like losing a spider in a room and suddenly having it crawl up your leg. Neither encounters escalated to anything more serious, but that summer when I was 16 was an uncomfortable one for sure. So, with a pervert on board and with the love of my life, it lasted 18 months back in the UK, the last night of the holiday couldn't have come quick enough. For the final dinner, I put on my black dress and my heels, lined my eyes with black eyeliner, and sighed at my full-mouthed reflection, then walked like a baby giraffe to the piano bar. Heel, toe. Heel, toe. Heel, toe. Heel, toe. Heel, toe. Heel, toe, heel, toe. The once jolly pianist came shuffling in a little late with a grave face and holding a Bloody Mary in his shaky hand. He began tinkling on the piano whilst he introduced himself once more. Any requests, just let me know. He pulled away from the mic to hide a burp. Sorry, feeling a little fragile today. After a few ropey songs, we went to the dining room. Joe and Tom came bumbling in late, as usual, with the two-week European bender showing on their clothes and faces. Another heavy night, I see, Mum said as she glanced disapprovingly over her menu. It was Bants, Joe said, now with a mouthful of bread. We taught this pianist how to play Xbox. He got so wasted. Tom and him both laughed as if imagining the same comical image from the night before. So wasted, Tom added. At some point when the ship sailed into Southampton the next morning, our parents decided that that was going to be our last family holiday. Thank you again for listening to The Quack. If you did enjoy the podcast, if you give us a nice little review, that would be absolutely lovely. Otherwise, that's it. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.